ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 19, The Killing of the Demon Hiranyaksha, text number 33. Suta uvacha iti kaushara vakhyatam ashrutya bhagavat katham shatanandam param lebhe shatanandam param lebhe Mahabhagavato Dvija. Suta uvacha iti kaushara vakhyatam ashrutya bhagavat katham shatanandam param lebhe Mahabhagavato Dvija. Suta uvacha iti kaushara vakhyatam ashrutya bhagavat katham shatanandam param lebhe mahabhagavato dvija. Word for word, please repeat. Sutaha, Suta Goswami. Uvacha, said, iti, thus, Kausharava, from Maitreya, son of Kusharu, Akhyatam, told, Ashrutya, having heard, Bhagavat Katham, the narration about the Lord, Shata, Vidura, Anandam, bliss, Param, transcendental, Lebhe, achieved, Mahabhagavata, the great devotee, Dvija, O Brahmana, Shanaka. Translation. Suta Goswami continued, Sri Suta Goswami continued, my dear Brahmana, Shata, Vidura, the great devotee of the Lord, achieved transcendental bliss by hearing the narration of the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead from the authoritative source of the sage Kausharava, Maitreya, and he was very pleased. Translation responsibly. Sri Suta Goswami continued. My dear Brahmana, Shata, Vidura, the great devotee of the Lord, achieved transcendental bliss by hearing the narration of the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead from the authoritative source of the sage Kausharava Maitreya, and he was very pleased. Purport. If anyone wants to derive transcendental pleasure by hearing the pastimes of the Lord, he must hear from the authoritative source as explained here. Maitreya heard the narration from his bona fide spiritual master, and Vidura also heard from Maitreya. One becomes an authority simply by presenting whatever he has heard from his spiritual master. And one who does not accept a bona fide spiritual master cannot be an authority. This is clearly explained here. If one wants to have transcendental pleasure, he must find a person with authority. It is also stated in the Bhagavatam that simply by hearing from an authoritative source, with the ear and the heart, one can relish the pastimes of the Lord. Otherwise, it is not possible. Sanatan Goswami, therefore, has especially warned that one should not hear anything about the personality of the Lord from the lips of a non-devotee. Non-devotees are considered to be like serpents. As milk is poisoned by a serpent's touch, As milk is poisoned by a serpent's touch, so, although the narration of the pastimes of the Lord is as pure as milk, when administered by serpent-like non-devotees, it becomes poisonous. Not only does it have no effect in transcendental pleasure, but it is dangerous also. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has warned that no description of the pastimes of the Lord should be heard from the Mayavad or impersonalist school. He has clearly said, Mayavadi bhashya shunile hai sarvanash. If anyone hears the Mayavadi's interpretation of the pastimes of the Lord, or their interpretation of Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, or any other Vedic literature, then he is doomed. Once one is associated with impersonalists, he can never understand the personal feature of the Lord and his transcendental pastimes. Suta Goswami was speaking to the sages headed by Shanaka, and therefore he addressed them in this verse as Dvija, twice born. The sages assembled in Naimisharanya, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from Suta Goswami, were all Brahmanas. But to acquire the qualifications of the Brahmana is not everything. Merely to be twice born is not perfection. Perfection is attained when one hears the pastimes and activities of the Lord from a bona fide source. Om Gyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So Hiranyaksha has been killed by Lord Bor, and Vidura, he heard this pastime from Maitreya, and the result of hearing this pastime is that he is in ecstasy. So here we can see that he is in so much ecstasy from hearing this pastime, and he is glorifying the potency of hearing the narrations of the Lord from bona fide devotees. So that is the effect of hearing Krishna Katha from a bona fide source, that one is in ecstasy after hearing. So tomorrow we will hear that also one can also derive a lot of benefit, not only by hearing the pastimes of the Lord, but even hearing the pastimes of devotees. So tomorrow's verse is about devotees, the glories of devotees. So that's pretty much the sum and substance of this verse, that if one wants to derive transcendental pleasure, then one has to hear Krishna Katha from devotees, from a bona fide spiritual master. Otherwise, one's hearing will have no effect. In the material world, people are hearing about so many subject matters. There's no shortage of subject matters in the material world. All the subject matters are pertaining to the three modes of material nature. And the three modes of material nature, they manifest in so many varieties. And not only in the human form of life, but in all species there is constant katha going on. Right now, so much frequencies around us, there is katha going on. You can use maybe a satellite dish or a radio to tune in to the wavelengths, and there we hear there is katha going on, but that katha is simply surrounded around sense gratification. The birds, the beasts, the aquatics, they are talking all the time, and they're talking about so many subject matters, and the subject matters are centered around eating, sleeping, mating and defending. So in the human civilization also, same thing is happening. So much talk is going on around these four topics. Or maybe in human form it's more complicated and sophisticated. There is politics, economics, sociology, so many subject matters. But the sum and substance is it is material talk. And because it is material talk, it does not give any pleasure. We can see the result of so much dialogue, so many conferences, so many big, you know, sanghas which are organized all over the world, whether it's music festivals or debates or comedy or so many different forums. There's so much talk going on, but the end result is people are not so happy. People are not ecstatic. People are not ecstatic after coming out of so many conferences and music festivals. We have seen that. We have evidence of that. In fact, people come out morose, and or they come out despondent, and or they fight. So the result of all this katha is that it does not lead to any pleasure. And such katha doesn't solve the problems of the world. So many forums are arranged, organized, so they can come to various solutions of world problems. But the result of all that is the problems are simply increasing. The solutions are not coming. Or even the solutions which come out of it, they further increase the problems. But the effect of Krishna Katha is such that it gives transcendental pleasure. Not only it gives transcendental pleasure, but it solves the problems of the world as well. And we can see even in the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna, he heard the entire Bhagavad Gita, and at the end of Bhagavad Gita, in the 18th chapter, Krishna asked him, "Have you understood everything? Is there anything you would like me to clarify? If so, I'm prepared to repeat the entire Bhagavad Gita." And Arjuna, he said that now all my doubts have been my doubts are cleared. I've regained my memory by your mercy, and I'm fixed in my consciousness, and I'm ready to execute your instructions. And Sanjaya, who was reciting the Bhagavad Gita to Dhritarashtra, who was blind, and Sanjaya, by his mystic powers and by the mercy of Vyasadeva, he was able to hear the Bhagavad Gita. So Sanjaya said that he was thrilled after hearing the Bhagavad Gita. So I would like to read you Sanjaya's statements that after hearing Bhagavad Gita, what his realizations were. So Sanjaya, he said, "Thus I have heard the conversation of two great souls, Krishna and Arjuna. And so wonderful is that message that my hair is standing on end." So after hearing Bhagavad Gita, Sanjaya was in ecstasy. His bodily hairs were standing on end after hearing the Bhagavad Gita. Then he says, "By the mercy of Vyas, I've heard these most confidential talks directly from the master of all mysticism, Krishna, who was personally speaking to Arjuna. O King, as I repeatedly recall this wondrous and holy dialogue between Krishna and Arjuna, I take pleasure being thrilled at every moment. O King, as I remember the wonderful form of Lord Krishna, I am struck with wonder more and more, and I rejoice again and again." So that is the effect of hearing Krishna Katha. So Bhagavad Gita is also Krishna Katha. Anything spoken by Krishna or about Krishna is Krishna Katha. So we can see Sanjaya, he was in ecstasy, though he didn't directly hear Bhagavad Gita like Arjuna did. But the effect was, he was able to hear by the mercy of Vyasadeva, and that is also directly hearing. He was not there on the battlefield, on the chariot, but the effect of hearing that he was experiencing transcendental pleasure. So we also, in our neophyte stage, we also do experience some pleasure by attending Bhagavatam class. Otherwise, why would we be sitting here? Why would you all be here? Because there is some pleasure experienced in hearing the glories of the Lord. And even we see Parikshit Maharaj and Shukdev Goswami. Parikshit Maharaj, he was on the banks of the Ganges. His time had come. 7 days were given to him. He would live for 7 days. And then the snake bird would come, Takshaka, the snake bird would come and bite him, and that would be the end. So Maharaj Parikshit, he took shelter of Shukdev Goswami. And he was very eager to hear the glories of the Lord. And he asked so many questions to Parikshit Maharaj with so much enthusiasm and eagerness. He asked so many questions. And if you read so many of the pastimes, after every pastime concludes, he expresses his pleasure, transcendental pleasure, from hearing that pastime. And he encourages Shukdev Goswami to recite, to keep continuing. And then Shukdev Goswami, he continues with so many other pastimes. And Maharaj Parikshit, he encourages Shukdev Goswami like that. And in that way, for 7 days and nights, he heard the glories of the Lord and he was experiencing transcendental pleasure. So much so that he gave up his eating. He gave up his eating and sleeping. See, because he was experiencing so much ecstasy. Otherwise, how is it possible? If you're not experiencing pleasure, how can you sit for 7 days and 7 nights and just hear something? It's not possible, because he was on the transcendental platform and he was experiencing transcendental pleasure. So, of course, Maharaj Parikshit, he set the example of how one should hear Krishna Katha, as Prabhupada mentions. One should hear with one's ear and heart. So one has to hear attentively with rapt attention, and also by investing one's heart in it. So by investing one's heart in it and assimilating that message, that's how one hears properly. So Maharaj Parikshit was the prime example of hearing, and Shukdev Goswami was the prime example of reciting the Bhagavatam. So together they were a very good combination. And the audience, or in other words, Parikshit Maharaj, the audience encourages the speaker. So if you're giving a talk, you'll know that the audience does it does feed in, it feeds into each other. If the audience is enthusiastic, then the speaker will be enthusiastic. And if the audience is not into it, it's a bit challenging for the speaker. If you have done talks with non-devotees, you'll know, because they don't have taste for Krishna Katha, so it's like a stone. And if you speak general, it's okay, but the moment you go a little deep, then they start to lose their interest because they don't have any taste. So it is like that. And of course, the speaker also has to do a good job of enthusing the audience. It's not only on the audience. The speaker also has to present Krishna Katha in their own realizations. And that way it becomes ecstatic. We see even Srila Prabhupada, he also went, he derived so much pleasure from hearing the pastimes of the Lord. In fact, Srila Prabhupada, he would derive pleasure from by hearing his own Krishna book, which he compiled. And of course, we know Prabhupada very confidentially, he told his senior disciples that, in fact, I didn't write these books. Krishna, he wrote them through me. Krishna dictated to me this knowledge, and I simply wrote them. So there's this pastime of Srila Prabhupada. I think it was the opening of the New Vrindavan Temple in America. And that time it was on Janmashtami. So Srila Prabhupada, he was there. And right at midnight, after the midnight aarti had taken place. And we know, after midnight aarti, what's there? Prasadam. There's a feast. There's a midnight feast. And devotees are fasting all day, right? We're fasting from water and foodstuffs. Most devotees do. So, like that, devotees had fasted, and in those days, the temple had just opened. So, the devotees had put in a lot of hard work. And to open a temple is no joke. Even to open a preaching center is no joke. What to speak of opening a temple? So, those days, when Prabhupada would come, everything would just be finishing while Prabhupada would be Well, Prabhupada would be there, they would be finishing, you know, doing something in the other room. The paint would be wet, everything would just be ready on time. So devotees were also very tired. And Srila Prabhupada, it's not that he was just relaxed. Prabhupada was traveling throughout the whole world and he had his intense schedule. So after the midnight aarti, Srila Prabhupada told the disciples, okay, now let's read from Krishna book. So he told his senior disciples to read from the Krishna book. And because if Prabhupada hadn't taken the feast, no one also could take the feast. So everyone was in the temple room and they were hearing the Krishna book. So it started from chapter 1. Then chapter 1, chapter 2, prayers by the demigods. You know, that's a very lengthy chapter and it's philosophical. It's after midnight. So chapter after chapter, Prabhupada kept telling his disciples, keep reading. And everyone was falling asleep. They were tired. They were yawning. They were falling. And it was a torture for devotees to stay awake, even the sannyasis. But Prabhupada, he was sitting erect on the Vyasasan. And he was hearing with rapt attention. And he was experiencing so much transcendental pleasure from hearing the Krishna book. So that's an example of how Srila Prabhupada was deriving transcendental pleasure. That's like kind of similar to Maharaj Parikshit. He was fasting. So here, Prabhupada had fasted, devotees had fasted, and they were hearing Krishna Katha. And Prabhupada, we can see, no water, no food, still with rapt attention, mind not distracted. So he was experiencing transcendental pleasure in hearing Krishna Katha. even the Supreme Lord, he takes pleasure in hearing his own pastimes. So one time there was a solar eclipse. And Krishna, Balram and Subhadra, they decided to go to Kurukshetra to take a bath, to take a holy bath there. So Krishna, Balram and Subhadra Maharani, they went to Dwarka, and all so many citizens of Dwarka also went to Kurukshetra. So Nanda Maharaj, the gopis and the gopas, they all heard that Krishna will be there. So they took that opportunity to go and see Krishna, because they were in so much separation from the Lord. So they went there. So many other devotees had also arrived there. Rohini was there. The queens of Dwarka were there. All the Brajvasis were there. So they had set up so many tents over there to camp for the night. So on this one particular night, Rohini, she got together with so many of the queens of Dwarka. And they all were sharing their realizations about Krishna. They were sharing their pastimes, how they got married to Krishna. So as we know, Rohini, she's from Braj. So the rasa in Braj is more intimate, whereas the mood in Dwarka is more awe and reverence. In Braj it is more intimate. So Rohini Devi, she was reciting the pastimes of the Lord, confidential pastimes of the Lord, to the queens of Dwarka. And she requested Subhadra to stand at the door so nobody comes and hears. But as the pastimes were being recited, Krishna and Balram came. So Krishna, he stood on the left hand side of Subhadra, and Balaram, he stood on the right hand side. So they started hearing the pastimes being described by Rohini. So when they heard the pastimes, they could not control themselves. They could not control their inner feelings. And they developed ecstasy. And they displayed the form of Lord Jagannath. So their eyes became dilated, as we can see, very big eyes. Their hands went inside. Their legs also shrunk. And they displayed the form of Jagannath, Baladev, and Lord Balaram and Jagannath, they displayed the ecstatic forms. And Subhadra Devi, she could not contain herself as well. So then she also went in ecstasy, and they manifested these forms. And so today these forms are worshipped. So we can see even how, example, the Lord could not contain his ecstasy by hearing his own pastimes from devotees. Even see Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he would go in ecstasy so many times after hearing verses sung by his confidential devotees like Ramananda Rai and Swarup Damodar Goswami. By Swarup Damodar and Ramananda Rai, they would recite various verses, pastimes of the Lord. In fact, Swarup Damodar, he was a very intimate devotee of the Lord, and it is said he was like the second Mahaprabhu. He really understood the mood of Lord Chaitanya, and he was an embodiment of Krishna Prem. So he was called the second Mahaprabhu. So one of his responsibilities was that if anyone, any devotee wanted to present Lord Chaitanya with some book, verse or some song, it had to go through Swarup Damodar because he was like the filter. So he would make sure that that the books or the songs and the verses which were presented to Lord Chaitanya, they were not opposed to the conclusions of bhakti. And there was no rasabhas. So he would make sure, and then he would sing them, or he would pass them on. So Swarup Damodar and Ramananda Rai, they would spend the whole night with Lord Chaitanya, and they would be reciting so many verses. And Lord Chaitanya, he would go in ecstasy. We know in the Antya Leela of Lord Chaitanya, he was residing in Puri, and he was residing in Gambhira. So there, they would recite so many pastimes, and Lord Chaitanya would go in ecstasy whole night. They would perform kirtan, and Lord Chaitanya would go in ecstasy. And then they would go home, and they would bolt the doors. They would have 3 bolts. And Govinda, he would stay there to make sure Lord Chaitanya, he stays there. And Lord Chaitanya would be chanting the holy names of the Lord. He would be chanting the Maha Mantra, and he would be in ecstasy. And sometimes Lord Chaitanya, he would escape. And he would, one time he went to the cowshed, and there he went into ecstasy and he lost external consciousness. And again then he went into ecstasy, and his external form, it displayed ecstasies like Lord Jagannath. His form would either contract or it would go inside. And one time he just became like a pumpkin. His form became like a pumpkin. So he was in the Braj Leela, and then the devotees had to come and bring him to external consciousness by chanting the Maha Mantra and the pastimes of the Lord. So in this way, the point I'm making is, by hearing his own pastimes, Lord Chaitanya would go into ecstasy as well. The Lord would go into ecstasy by hearing his own pastimes. By hearing his own pastimes, the Lord would derive transcendental pleasure. So what to speak of devotees then? If the Lord can derive transcendental pleasure by hearing his own pastimes, then even devotees, when they hear the pastimes of the Lord, they derive transcendental pleasure. But the main point is, one has to hear these pastimes, as Srila Prabhupada says, and as it says in the verse, one has to hear from a bona fide source. Otherwise, it doesn't work. That's why it is so important that one accepts a spiritual master. So one connects oneself to the parampara. So generally the fashion is, for most people in the world who do accept spirituality, most people, as we know, are not into Krishna consciousness. But those who are into spiritual life, those who begin the quest for spiritual life, they do not like to accept an authority. In fact, no one in the material world likes to accept an authority. Everyone wants to be the authority, as it is stated here. If one wants to become an authority, then one has to accept an authority. That's how it is. That's the system. So in order to become an authority, one has to accept an authority. But in the material world, no one likes to accept an authority, and everyone wants to become an authority and tell the whole world what to do. And we can see that these days, the US elections are coming. The authority, everyone wants to be that. People want to take this position of the president, because the president is the authority of not only the United States, but of the whole world. And so many presidential candidates, they are bitterly fighting with each other, and they are name-calling and pulling each other down to become the president of the United States or of the whole world. So that tendency is there, manifest in so many ways, that one wants to be the authority. But in order to be an authority, one has to accept an authority. So who is the authority? The authority is someone who is coming in the parampara. So the authority, the supreme authority is Krishna, the supreme personality of Godhead. Then from him the parampara comes, from Krishna, as we know. In the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, that the parampara is there and we are aware of it. So there's the parampara. If we connect ourselves to the parampara, then whatever we are repeating, then we also become an authority. As Prabhupada says, if one wants to have transcendental pleasure, he must find a person with authority. So the problem in the world these days is that people are trying to find pleasure without accepting any authority. So they are thinking that they know how to achieve, how to have love, how to find happiness, how to find ecstasy, and they don't need any authority because they know what's best for them, and they know how to achieve happiness through their own experience, by going through life, through the ups and downs. That's how you learn how to get happiness. That's what most people think. But for everything else, people generally accept an authority, isn't it? When they want to get education, they go to university. They go to school and accept a teacher there. A teacher is nothing but an authority. For so many other things, they accept a leader to guide them in their economic prosperity, to guide them in life. So in so many ways people are seeking authority, but the authority which people do seek, and of course that accepting authority is also superficial, because people want something from that person. Then once they've got everything, then they don't need that authority. So the problem with authorities is they are fallible. They have the four defects. So the knowledge the authorities are putting forward is not perfect knowledge. But the knowledge which is coming from the parampara, it is perfect. It is beyond the four defects. So that knowledge is perfect, and there's no flaw in it. So when we accept that knowledge, then we can find what real pleasure is. So real pleasure is in bhakti, is in serving Krishna. That's where real pleasure is. So if we want to become an authority, actually we should not strive to become an authority. We should not strive to take to have a position, because a lot of people, they want position, and that's what spoils things. The quest for power and position and wealth, because we have this strong conditioning from so many lifetimes, the tendency to enjoy women and wealth and power and position. So in bhakti, one should not strive for these things. One should just simply try to glorify the Lord to the best of one's ability. And if others accept you as an authority, that's fine. But one should not strive to be in authority, because these things go to our head very quickly, because we have been in the material world for a long time. We might give a few lectures or do some service very nicely, but sometimes it goes to our head. And a position, authority position, can also go to our head. So it is better to be humble. And if it is bestowed upon us, that's a different thing. We have to do a service. But one has to always be very humble and seek the blessings of Vaishnavas and render that service in the consciousness of a servant. Because we can very quickly think we are a master, we are the authority. Now we have that title. We have that big position and title, and I'm an authority. Everybody should listen to me, finally. But that's not the proper mood. One has to present Krishna consciousness and then in that way become an authority without seeking that position. And then Shukdev Goswami, he wants who one should not hear the Bhagavatam from. So first it explains who one should hear from. One should hear from a bona fide spiritual master, someone coming in the parampara. That's who we should hear from. But who? Then he gives the warning who one should not hear from. There's the do's and there's the don'ts. Both are important, not only the do's. The don'ts is equally important. So he says one should not hear from somebody who is not coming in the disciplic succession. And they are compared, non-devotees are compared to serpents. Pretty heavy. A snake. They might take it as an offense, you know, big offense. You're calling me a snake? So we know snakes are very dangerous, isn't it? Most snakes, many snakes in the world are dangerous, not all of them. But they instill, even if they're not dangerous, they instill a lot of fear. So, in Australia has some of the world's most poisonous, venomous snakes. And in India, in Asia, we have the king cobra. Cobra is a very long snake, can go up to 9 meters. So a snake is very dangerous. You don't handle a snake very casually. The other day I was watching some kirtan on YouTube, and then there was this, you know, on YouTube these videos come on the side, and there was a snake video. It says, man touching an anaconda. So out of curiosity, I just clicked on it. And there I saw that an anaconda had, in Brazil, was sleeping on a man's balcony. It was like huge, massive. I've never seen a snake that big. So, and this person, you know, so foolish, he casually goes and touches the snake. Just to feel how warm it is. And the snake is looking at him, then suddenly just pounces upon him and bites him. And his friend is filming all that. So one doesn't deal with the snake very casually. And the result of that is one gets bitten. Of course, anacondas are not are venomous, but it's a very painful bite. So one doesn't deal with the snake very casually. So here, non-devotees are compared to serpents. Why? Because they're very dangerous. They have material desires. And those desires can, if we associate with them very casually, very intimately, their desires will influence us. And then we can lose our Krishna bhakti. That's why they're compared to serpents. So the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Krishna Katha is Krishna Katha is Amrit. And Amrit is pure. Milk is pure, right? So, but when milk is touched by a snake, you know, sometimes snakes, they love milk, right? And in India, people feed snakes milk also. But people don't drink that milk. After the snake has consumed that milk, in India temples, people will give snake milk. And snakes, there are places in India where snakes are worshipped and again, one time I was watching a documentary, and I can't remember the name of this village. But there, cobras are very casually roaming around. And the people are talking, sitting, and there are snakes, they are poisonous. No one bothers. And they come in the temples and in fact they are worshipped. No one kills snakes there. You know where it is? In that, is it in that documentary? Yeah, that's the documentary. Yeah, that's where I saw it. But I've even heard the audio that there nobody kills them, and they give the snakes milk, but nobody drinks that milk because that milk is poisonous. And if we drink that milk, we will die. So in the same way, when Mayavadis, or those who are not coming in the parampara, they speak Krishna Katha, not only there is no transcendental pleasure, but it has an opposite effect. It has a very detrimental effect. It kills one's bhakti. One goes backward. It's not one remains neutral. We go backward by hearing katha from those who are not practicing Krishna consciousness. So the qualification of the speaker is that they have to live the philosophy. They have to be the person Bhagavat. They have to follow. They have to follow the principles, the four eggs, chant 16 rounds, you know, render devotional service in a healthy way. So when they're doing like that, then what they're speaking has potency, and it infuses the heart with Krishna bhakti. And we can see that when devotees, exalted devotees, they speak on the Vyasasan, it really inspires us. It infuses bhakti in our heart, and we get inspired to do so much devotional service. Prabhupada is a prime example. When Prabhupada spoke, devotees were ready to give their lives. They were ready to do anything. And we can see so many other senior devotees in ISKCON. Radhanath Maharaj, Kadamakana Maharaj, so many Devamrit Maharaj, so many gurus and so many other senior devotees who are not even gurus when they speak, and so many of you also. When you sit on the Vyasasan and speak, you inspire others to take to devotional service more seriously and render more service. So that's because all of you are following the principles. But those who are not practicing Krishna consciousness, and we see in India there are so many saptas. There's Bhagavad saptas in Vrindavan, 7-day saptas. India is famous for saptas. There's so many kathas going on, jagratas, right? All night jagratas. Big show. So many people come the whole night. And what is the result of all that? The speaker, they go back to their lifestyle, which is, you know, they're engaging in sinful activities. And in these jagratas, they're even playing Bollywood music. And the audience, they also, they go back and they're eating meat, illicit sex, intoxication, everything going on. There's no change of heart. But when devotees are speaking, there is a change of heart. And Prabhupada, he said that, I don't want so many disciples. He compared so many people to like stars. He said, I don't want so many stars, I just want the moon. So I'm not here to have an audience. Srila Prabhupada said that. I'm not here to make followers, have a gathering, a following. I'm here to make people Krishna conscious. And I want that type of following, those who will be Krishna conscious and those who will do something. Not simply... ISKCON is not about getting numbers, you know, having a head count. So it's not about just converting people and having, okay, now we have 1 million devotees. We converted 1 million. It's not about that. It's about making people Krishna conscious and getting them to also contribute to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's preaching mission. Just the final point, and we'll end here. I've gone going over time. I'm sorry. So the last point here in the purport, in the translation in the purport, is that which Sutta Goswami is making. He addresses the Brahmanas as Dvija, twice born. So we know in the Varnashram, the being a Brahmana is the head of society. So there's the four Varnas. this is the four ashrams, brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, and sannyasi, and this is the four varnas. So, and the brahmana, the four ashrams and the four varnas, brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, shudra. So, the brahmana is considered the head of society. Because why? Because they are the head. The head guides the society. They have knowledge. They cultivate knowledge, and they give knowledge. Patan, patan, yajan, yajan, dan, pratigraha. These are the duties of the brahmana. So the brahmana is meant to impart knowledge, and the brahmana is meant to know about Brahman. And the brahmanas have someone who is a brahmana. They are meant to acquire certain qualities. In fact, there is a very nice discussion between a python and Maharaj Yudhishthir in the Mahabharata, where the qualities of a brahmana are highlighted. So one time, while the Pandavas, they were living in the forest, when they were in Vanvas, Bhima, who was just roaming in the forest, he was looking at the beautiful scenery. These days there's no forest, but forests are beautiful. So he was looking at the natural scenery, and then suddenly a python, the way a python kills its prey is by strangulating, by holding. So the python gripped Bhima. And Bhima, we know, Bhima has the strength of 10,000 elephants. He was not able to free himself from the grip of the python. So Bhima was in the grip of the python and he was stuck. And the python was trying to constrict him in his coils. And he was not able to extricate himself. Then Yudhishthir Maharaj, he went out in search of his brother. And there he saw Bhima lying in the coils of a python. And he was horrified to see Bhima's plight. So Yudhishthir, he pleaded with the python to release him. You see, amazing. He pleaded the python, release my brother. And he said, look, release him, I'll get you some other prey. I know you're hungry. I will get you something else, you eat that. But you leave my brother. But he said, the python, he refused. He said, no, I won't leave your brother. And the python, he told Yudhishthir that in his previous life, he was Nahusha. Now, Nahusha was an ancestor of Yudhishthir. And he had become a python because he was cursed by the sage Agastya. Because Nahusha, he was proud of his wealth and power. And he insulted the brahmanas. And Agastya, he cursed him and he became a python. So he said, I'll release your brother if you answer my questions. So he said, I'll put a few questions to you. If you can answer them, I'll release you. I'll release Bhima. So the first question was, who is a brahmana? And what is the truth that is worth knowing? So Yudhishthir Maharaj, he says, a brahmana is one who possesses the qualities of truthfulness, generosity, forbearance, good conduct, total absence of cruelty, self-control and compassion. So Maharaj Yudhishthir, he highlights these are the qualities of a brahmana.
Could you mention
again? Sure. Truthfulness, generosity, forbearance, in other words, tolerance, good conduct, total absence of cruelty, self-control and compassion. So how many are that? There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. He mentions 8 qualities there. And he says, the only truth that is worth knowing is the Supreme Brahman, which is beyond joy and sorrow, and by knowing which man becomes free from all feelings of incompetencies. Then the python asks another question. The qualities mentioned by you may be found even in a person who is Shudra by birth. Can he also be then considered to be a Brahmana? Then Yudhishthir Maharaj says, if the qualities such as truthfulness, which I have mentioned, are found in a Shudra and are not found in a Brahmana, that Shudra is not a Shudra and that Brahmana is not a Brahmana. That person should be considered a Brahmana in whom the qualities such as truthfulness exist, and he who does not have such qualities should not be considered a Shudra. So in other words, it is by qualities, not by one's birth. So here Maharaj Sutta Goswami is saying that it is not simply sufficient to have the qualities of a Brahmana. Because to have the qualities of a Brahmana, is not the perfection of life. That one has to be a Vaishnava. And we see Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he defeated all the so-called caste brahmanas. In fact, there were six type of the jati. Was that discussed in Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's appearance? So during Bhaktivinoda Thakur's time, and even much before that, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur's time and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's time, the brahmanas had assumed monopoly. So the brahmanas they took control of society, and they said, we are worshipable because we are brahmanas and we have these qualities, you know, by name. Of course they lacked those qualities also. So the point Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur made and Bhaktivinoda Thakur made, he said that a Vaishnava is higher than a brahmana because a Vaishnava knows Krishna. Whereas a brahmana, brahmanas, generally they only know up to the level of Brahman. They don't know the Supreme Brahman. So to acquire the qualifications of a brahmana is not sufficient, but one has to progress beyond that and go to the platform of a Vaishnava. So on a practical level, in devotees, it is not good to make distinctions. This is a brahmana devotee, this is a kshatriya devotee, or vaishya or shudra. Because when we make distinctions, we come on the bodily platform, and then we treat devotees certain ways because we label them. This is a brahmana devotee, this is a shudra. So the moment we label, then we treat one a certain way and we treat the others a certain way. And in fact, we should see everyone as Vaishnavas. Everyone is a devotee, and doesn't matter what propensities we have. I might have shudra propensities or brahminical propensities or vaishya propensities or kshatriya propensities, and we just have to engage those propensities in Krishna's service. And the main thing is, we all are devotees, and we should see everyone as devotees, because the moment we see one is brahmana devotee, then that devotee is higher than everyone else. So I'll just leave it there. I've gone way over time. My apologies. Any questions or comments? Yes.
I just couldn't get, why did he do that?
Why he read Krishna book?
Yeah.
Because it's Janmashtami. So on Janmashtami, Krishna is glorified.
Why did he not let the devotees have Krishna?
Why did he torture them?
Yeah.
Well, because he wanted to, for many reasons. Of course, we cannot understand the mind of a pure devotee. But from what I've heard other devotees saying, is that Srila Prabhupada, he wanted to set the precedence that he's non-different from his books. So Srila Prabhupada himself is hearing his own book. Generally, authors, they don't read their own books, let alone somebody else read to them in an audience, you know. But Srila Prabhupada, he wanted to set an example that he wanted to let them know that he knew he won't be here forever, and he is present in his books. He himself said that, and he wanted to set that example that if I can read my own books, you should also read my books. So he wanted to set that example not only for those devotees, but for all time to come. And today, look, we are discussing that. It's there in the Leelamrita. So we derive instruction from that pastime. So that's one reason. Other reason is, it is Janmashtami. On Janmashtami, we shouldn't simply just do kirtan and dress the deities nicely and have feast, but we have to hear Krishna's glories, right? So it's Janmashtami, and Prabhupada wanted to hear about Krishna. And for Prabhupada, you know, eating and sleeping is secondary, and he wanted to impress that on the devotees also. That is, hearing Krishna katha is that's where it is. That's where it's at. You know, we can. And he wanted to set that example. So it might look like he's torturing the devotees, but he's setting an example that hearing Krishna katha is so important. we should hear this. And reading my books is so important. That's how I see it. Yes, Prabhu. And you know, sorry, and prasadam is there all the time. Every day we're eating prasadam. 3 times a day. Here we're eating 6-7 times a day. Yeah, this is the facility to eat it. It's up to us, but prasadam is there all the time. And Prabhupada's association won't be there all the time. Devotees can eat prasadam even later. Prabhupada was there on the planet for a limited amount of time. So he's giving devotees his sangha by getting them to read Krishna book in his association, which was a very rare thing. And devotees at that time, they came all over from America. We have to keep that in mind. They were not only local devotees. For the opening of the temple, devotees came from all over USA. They traveled. So he's giving that opportunity. He's giving his association to them. Not everyone gets that opportunity. Yes, Prabhu. Yes. Yes. You might have not seen here, but if you read the Shastra, there are examples of that. I can't think of any right now, but there are examples where devotees have manifested ecstasy and their bodily limbs have also expanded or contracted. It's there. Yeah. Sometimes the body is just hanging on the skin, you know. Sometimes it's inconceivable, but it does happen by hearing Krishna Katha. We might not have experienced it, but if you read the Shastra, Shastra is Praman, hearing Krishna Katha. We might not have experienced it, but if you read the Shastra, Shastra is Praman, evidence. So you can see there. And one day it might happen to you also. But practicing pure bhakti, you can also experience it. Yeah. Ladies, any questions? No? Okay. Thank you very much for your kind attention and tolerating me. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.